When you finished your main playing career, if I could put it like that, and came back to Gloucester, talk us through your sort of getting engaged in rugby in the Gloucester area again.
Coming back. Well, what I did, my sort of career, I left Gloucester in, what was it, 92, 93? Went to the Wasps for five, and then went to Bristol for two. Then actually I got caught up. A lot of people won't know this. I went to Cardiff.
And played one game.
That's right.
Against Newport.
That's right. I got for 10 minutes. Well, I'll tell you the true story here now, because I actually went down there. The guy was in, he left Bath and went there. And Paul Burke was there, the guy who's thinking he's with Leicester at the moment, the outside half. And I just didn't know what to. He said, "Well," I said, "What sort of figures are we looking at?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I think I had about 20 grand for the 3 months." And they brought Norster in, and I didn't have to train full time because a lot of their guys were in. The reason I was brought in because they had two hookers, Humphreys and another guy who was a prop. They were trying to convert to a hooker to play for Wales. So he said, "Look, come on this 3 month, and if things go well, we might extend it." So I went. I got myself really fixed. I can remember the two coaches. There's a fitness guy there. He was also the Welsh coach at the time. I can't think of his name for the moment, but he might come to me. And I can remember him saying to the guys, take him for a bit of a run. What they were looking at was just testing me to see where my fitness was, which I knew was always going to be there. And again, with the running side of things. So I trained all that year, and I was actually going back. I was back at work, back laying bricks in the morning, and I go and train in the afternoon. And I sat on a bench against Newport and got on for the last 10 minutes. And then I sat the bench following week. This is when the stadium was being built, the new millennium was being built. So all the Cardiff's games were away. So I did all the pre-season, went to the Bridgend the following week, half-time, just trying to think of his name. Anyway, he said, warm up, because there was a Kiwi, there had another lad, there was a Kiwi lad there who'd been there a couple of years. Like, warm up, you're going on, half time. So I warmed up, he didn't put me on. The next day, there was a game over at, on the Sunday, there's a game at Civil Service, a memorial game. I thought, well, I've done all this, you know, you can run as much as you like, but game time is what you need. So I thought, well, I'm going to play in this game. I wasn't supposed to, because obviously I was on a contract then. And so I played this game, and then one of the boys fell on me and I broke my thumb. So I thought, got to the training session where we trained up near Pontypridd the next day, and the coach, he said, "What have you done?" I said, "I think I've done so much to my thumb." He said, "Well, I'll send you to Cardiff, get an x-ray, go and see this doctor." So I got straight through, straight out. He put me, I said, "Oh, you're joking." He said, "No." He said, "You broke your thumb, you're going to have it in plaster." So I knew that was pretty much the end. But if I'd have played on the Saturday against the half a game I was after playing, I wouldn't have never played this game. But, you know, it's in hindsight, you look at that. And then he's come up to me. I think he's still involved with the guys. He was an outside half. Gerard John. He came up to me and said, "You were starting against Neath next week." So I was gutted. But and then Bob Norstrud came in to take over as like a managing role. And he just said, "Look, not being funny, you know, the boy's going to be back." So I ended up doing 2.5 months, but I got 10 minutes of rugby. Mm. So for about 25 grand, it was happy days.
Must be the highest pay rate per minute of rugby that you'll ever experience.
So that was a strange one, yeah. But I was just going to say, I'm surprised we haven't talked about the red card yet. Are we going to get to that one?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's do that now.
Go on, then. That's going to be one of my worst, that is, yeah. No, and again, we're talking about the weekend. We were away. And I can remember just looking up and seeing that red card. I can see it to this day. It was myself, Buster White, and Matt Greenwood, and Martin Roberts, who I was with the weekend. Who reminiscing, who lived probably from here to Kingsham away from me, so I grew up with him. He came over the top, and we've all three of us have gone hammer and tongue on his back with the boots. Touched us, puts his flag out. It was a touch as you actually got me sent off. And I can remember coming over, and I'm thinking he's going to get a yellow card out. And Sims is there, Lawrence is there, Next minute, the red tie comes out of his pocket, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm looking at him, my face has just dropped. And I remember starting to walk, and all of a sudden the shed just erupted, and I thought, it's time to run. And that's all I did, I was just gone then. But that night, obviously, I was still living in Gloucester when I played at Wasps, so I was commuting. I then thought, well, I'm going to get out of King's Hill, because I said to Martin Robert Spear, I said, come on, let's go and have a pint, mate. We end up in the Dean's, and there's all the Gloucester supporters, and they're scratching their heads. Well, how come you two are drinking together? You've just kicked out of him, and yeah, you two are having a drink together. We'll say, well, that's rugby, isn't it? You know what I mean? So that was the funny one. But, of course, next minute I had the sun on, I had the mirror on. Oh, you know, what's happening with your wages? Are you going to be paid? I said, well, look, listen, you can't ask the boss. It's nothing to do with me. Go and speak to Nigel Marwell. He'll tell you if I'm being paid or not. Because obviously we're in the contracts then. And I was only in a part-time contract at Wasps. But, I said, well, you're going to have to ask him. So, but like your win bonus and stuff like that, you weren't playing, so you'd lose anyway. Mm. So that was certainly one of the... Well, that's the only time I've ever been sent off. Out of all the places. Kingsham. Yeah. In front of the shed.
Tell us about life in front of the shed, both for and against.
It was a great experience, you know, like that. They're still doing it now as a tradition. I don't think it'll ever go away, but you know, that run as you're running towards the end of the game to go in the change room to come back out. And I mean, I'm a season ticket holder now myself. I'm lucky enough, I've got a friend who's got a box, so I end up in the box quite a lot. But to soak the atmosphere in, and we had, you know, like the only times we had a big crowd, if we played Bath, really, well, maybe Leicester, maybe get 8,000, 9,000. But now they're getting, if they can, you know, get 17, it's, you know, it, to go in front of that shed, it was awesome. And on the other foot, to have to listen to it when you're on the other side, especially getting sent off, is, again, it's awesome, but you don't want to be on the tail end of it. But the rumours you hear about being spat at and all that, I mean, I've never seen that. I think it's a load of boys just, you know, what people want to say and put Gloucester people down. But the thing is, well, it proves itself, didn't it? I deem Gloucester's the only side still go undefeated in the Premiership. Very unfortunately, they lost the game against La Rochelle, you know, with the circumstances of what had happened that day and everything else. But, you know, like I said, if it weren't for the shed, you know, there were, that's 10 points. It's worth 10, 12 points of every game. And, you know, it's just phenomenal. It is just a great experience to be able to run out in front of it. I mean, we've even gone out, and we're going to do it hopefully next year. We're going to try and get two games for a charity, but you know, the cherry pickers, even then the sheds, they stay behind. And I can remember, I think Mark Regan was playing at the time for Leeds, and we had a game, I think it's something to do with the Prague disaster where they had the flooding, and we had a game, and they brought the, you know, load of guys over from, a lot of them were playing in the French league, and of course we were the cherry pickers, a lot older. And they had guys on the wing playing for something like Perpignan and things like that. What are we up against here? But again, there must have been 5,000 people stay behind after. And it's just, even, I can remember Simsy dropping the ball and they're still giving it their big Eeyore then. So, you know, and we just look at them and just, but yeah, great atmosphere. But Mark Regan went, there's more people watching you guys here now than what we do get at Leeds. Yeah. It just goes to show how much they do like their rugby.
Yeah.
But there has been some good tales. I don't know, I'm sure you'll get off one of the other boys, but the best one was Tim Smith was telling me, he was over there with Paul Taylor. They decided in one game, they got themselves wrapped up and put their big hoodies on and coats and went over in the shed, and Tim Smith come back and he said, unbelievable. He said, you know, a lot of these people know what they're on about, they said, but there are certainly a few people who haven't really got much of a clue. I said, why is that? He said, because I was getting the biggest bollock in it. He said, I'm stood next to him. They're thinking I'm in the middle of the pitch playing. So, and that's a true story. You asked, if you speak to Tim, was either him or Paul Taylor? And he was saying, yeah. He said, they're all saying, Smith, do you do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm looking around, and me and Tally's looking at each other and just laughing to ourselves, thinking, well, I'm not even out there playing. I'm stood next to you, mate. But, it was good. I mean, at the end of the day, they pay their money, they can say what they want, can't they? But,
and they do.
And they do, big time, yeah. But no, it is a great atmosphere to be in front of it. And like I said, again, we've got, hopefully we're going to have two games again there this year. I think it was one of the shedheads passed away last year. We went down to Camberley and played them because that was his club. And talking to Gary Little, hopefully we're going to have that game at King's Home when they get their pre-season game sorted. It's going to be a pre-season game. And then I bumped into some guys the weekend from Richmond, and they've got, they call the Richmond Heavies, all the older guys. They want to come and play us. So, you know, if we can get some, we always tend to put it to a charity. I think we had the Terry Fan Lewis game there the one year, and I brought the England Legends team down. So yeah, it's just nice to go back and put your boots on and have a run at Kingsville, and especially in front of the shed.
How many games a season do you play with them?
What, with the Cherry Pickers? Yeah. To be honest with you, they end up, we got a game we played. We played the shed last week. What they call themselves? It's not the shed heads. It's shed. Is it Shed Web? So it's all. But they're all younger lads, and we played a game down. And all the money we got raised went to cancer research, I think. And all the boys, we always, you know, throw £5 or £10 each, whoever plays, and just to put it to the charity. And we played a game down in Whiddon, and they were right up for it, the shed boys. But obviously, the old heads and the experience sort of stepped in, and I think it took us 10 minutes to break their line. But we managed to do it in the end, and we won quite comfortably. But and they even organised, they had Ashley Rowden to come down, and he ref the game for us. Great spirit, you know, it was good fun and hard game. They got stuck in, but they've just, you know, obviously just a bit raw, really, where, you know, like the breakdown in the tackle. But we've actually got another game we're playing. What we tend to do with the Cherry Pickers is, if a club's got a centenary or, you know, some sort of anniversary or something, I think Whiddon have got something this year. I think it's their 100th year or something. So we're going to go and play them. We've got a game next week against Whiddon. So, you know, it's everything we do is all try to put it towards a charity or to like an old guy who's, you know, put a lot into services into the game. And but we tend to have, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 a year. We're actually talking about going on tour to Germany next year to play in the tournament there. Nick Price, Lord Lucan, was out there. He's watched the tournament and he said, no, not great shape standards. I think it'd be ideal for us. So we're all talking about going out, and we've managed to get a few sponsors. I bumped into a guy who sponsored us in Amsterdam the weekend. He's there with his rugby tech Gloucester top on, an ex-Bath guy. Now he's a Gloucester supporter, lives in Farringdon. Well, he actually lives in Antwerp. Now he's moved his company and everything out. And I mentioned it to him, and he said, yeah, I'm interested. He says, get me on board, and I'll come and do a bit of a sponsorship for you. So, and, you know, he's a shed head. So, that's all good.
Yeah.